Hello, gorgeous.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Jessica Harlow Show. I'm your host, Jessica Harlow, or Miss Jessica Harlow to some people, at least on YouTube. I'm best known for being a content creator and producer in mainly the beauty and self-help categories. I created this podcast specifically for young women that want to do more than just admire beautiful, successful, happy women, but also give themselves the permission and the tools to become one themselves. If you're tired of the noise of the world telling you how you should look or how you should behave or what you should want and instead are craving to live a life on your terms and even give yourself the room to decide what that even looks like and feels like for you, then you've come to the right place. A new episode of The Jessica Harlow Show goes up every single Thursday with one goal in mind: to bring you something of value that you can use to make your life happier, healthier, and/or sexier. If you've been enjoying the podcast so far, I'd really appreciate it if you left a rating and a review on iTunes. It only takes about a minute, maybe less if you're quick. And you can also share this with your friends on social media. By the way, this podcast is also available for listening to on Spotify. So if any of your friends don't have Apple devices, they can still listen to it on there. If you do spread the word about the podcast in any way, please take a screenshot and email it to me at hellogorgeous@jessicaharlow.com. And in return, you will receive access to some exclusive content such as my hair care tips and secrets for growing the longest, healthiest hair possible, plus so much more. I've got a lot up my sleeve over the next few months. You don't want to miss out. So this might sound really odd coming from me, someone that swears by taking time for yourself to recharge and reconnect. I think it's a very important thing for your mental health. And anyone who's been following this podcast knows, I mean, the whole reason why I even created this podcast was about how strongly I feel about mental health. But something about the whole self-care movement kind of irks me, because it just seems that people are labeling everything as self-care. And I personally don't believe that absolutely everything counts as self-care. I think a lot of things can be self-care, depends on the person, but for the most part, I just don't believe that everything that's being marketed to us as self-care is actually self-care. Let me explain. You go on social media, you see people putting on face masks, calling it self-care. They get a manicure, they call it self-care. They get their hair done, they call it self-care. They go out, they buy things, maybe they can't afford them, they call it self-care. And it's just like, wait a minute. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The whole point of self-care and why it's so important is because it's really meant to prime yourself so that you can do the shit that you're actually supposed to be doing if you really gave a fuck about yourself in the first place. Self-care to me is about setting the stage for yourself, so to speak. And it's not always gonna be pretty and glamorous. And in fact, in most cases, in my opinion, it's very much not. It's kind of like cleaning a house. Things get really messy before they get clean. And sometimes you have to make a mess to figure out what is and isn't serving you. The whole healing process, because everybody's got their shit that they're dealing with. Everybody's got issues. If there's anything that I've learned in my 28 years on this planet, is that everybody's got their own unique set of issues and everybody's got their things that they're dealing with and pains from old wounds that they're trying to heal from. Some people just don't even know how to start. Or where to start, or even think it's possible for them to heal from some things. And I just think that, okay, like the face masks, the manicures, the overpriced coffees, even the meditation and the workouts and whatever else people do to keep sane, I kind of view those things that, sure, they're self-care, I guess, but I think it's like level one of self-care. It's just like one small aspect of self-care. Caring for yourself, that's real self-care. Let me explain what I think real self-care looks like and what it is. Real self-care is caring for yourself. It's doing what you have to do, making the tough choices, taking the risks, pushing yourself, putting in the work, having the difficult conversations, saying no, saying yes, planning, plotting, executing. That to me is what it really looks like to give a fuck about yourself. And isn't the whole point of self-care to get you ready and centered to actually participate in life and live it as the best version of yourself possible at this current point in your life? A face mask, reading a book, a manicure, a pedicure, to me, those things aren't, I personally don't consider those things optional. The whole point of those things is just to give you a moment for yourself, a moment of breathing room. Meditation, it's to help you get centered, to help you train your overactive mind to just chill for a second because you've got other shit to do other than, you know, just like live in your fantasies, your daydreams, and worry about the past or what happened or who said what and what we need to do later, worrying about the past, worrying about the future. Meditation helps you to get into the present moment and to get centered and be able to focus on what you actually have to do in the time that you have any potential to control anything. You can't control the past. You can't control the future. The only thing you kind of have control over is the present. And it's constantly, it's in flux. It's constantly moving. It's constantly going. Getting exercise, that's helping you to get centered too. It helps you to get energized. It's good for your health. There's a lot of benefits. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to all of these things. It's like how some people say, for example, because I've seen people say this is self-care, and I'm like, this is not self-care. When you eat something that you know is really bad for you, okay, I'm not talking about like a little treat. I'm talking about like just eating bad. No, that's not self-care. That's indulging. Same thing with spending a whole day watching Netflix. It's indulging. And I'm not telling you not to do those things. Life is meant to be enjoyed. You're not going to be at go, go, go unless you're, you know, a robot. I think it takes a very unique type of human being to be able to survive like that and to maintain relative sanity. I notice a trend where too much time is being spent on things that aren't really doing a whole lot for you and then dragging your feet when it comes time to do the things that are actually going to add to your life. At least they'll add to your life if they're done well or even just done at all, period. Look, I think balance is bullshit. There's some days where one area of your life is going to get more sunlight and water and attention than another. In fact, I think that happens every day. But it's time to get honest about what really makes you feel better and what really makes your life better. Taking time for yourself away from distractions is something that you should be doing anyway. A face mask, getting your nails done, that's just hygiene. I mean, what's next? We're going to label brushing our teeth as self-care? That's hygiene and maintenance. Deodorant, is that self-care? Is that also going to be called self-care? I just think that self-care is doing what matters, getting clear on what matters and what's important, and knowing that taking the time to recharge is just as important as taking time to focus on putting in your time and energy into what you really want to be, do, have, and experience in this world, in this life. Self-care is supposed to be purposeful. I think that's the thing that a lot of people are forgetting. It's supposed to be purposeful. Otherwise, you're probably just using it as an excuse to waste time. It's a way to procrastinate. Self-care, caring for yourself, if you really care about yourself, you'll be honest. You'll be honest about what actually makes you feel your best and what actually makes you feel prepared. And preparing for things is self-care. It's like they say, success is preparation meets opportunity. Preparing for things is self-care. Saying no to go for drinks with friends one night so that you can stay in and research something for a business you wanted to start up, or to write an outline or a chapter for a book you've always wanted to write, or to get some extra work done ahead of time so that maybe later on in the week you'll have some extra time to do whatever it is that you want to do without having to think about or feel bad about leaving something else behind. That's self-care. Taking care of your friendships and relationships with people, that's self-care. Ending friendships and relationships with people that are sucking the energy out of you is self-care. Establishing boundaries is self-care. Deciding who you want to be or who you no longer want to be and committing to that is self-care. Learning a new skill, that's self-care. Doing something fun and taking a break from something that's stressing you out, that's also self-care. It's like I say, you know, when you take breaks from things that are maybe stressing you out, for me personally, that's when I come up with my best ideas, my best solutions. And by best solutions, I mean like the easiest solutions, the path of least resistance. My point is, I'm worried already that this generation is becoming a little too soft. As important as it is to feel things and to make time to process emotions and heal and take a nap when you feel tired, there comes a point where you have to just be like, I'm good enough as I am right now. I think this whole self-care thing is like training people to think that there's something wrong with them all of the time. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy to think that you constantly need to fix something. There's this trap with self-care that it almost makes people feel like they're constantly in a state of having to fix something or improve something, as if something's not good enough about them. And look, it's human nature to want to make progress. It's natural, it's healthy, but up to a point. I think in a way, self-care, the way that it's being marketed to us, if you're not careful, can just become a fancy and sometimes expensive way to procrastinate from doing what you have to be doing, what you've got to be doing in order to be the best version of yourself possible. I see so much about people going in about self-care to such an extent that it's like, listen, when you treat yourself as if you're constantly in the state of needing to fix things about yourself, it's almost like you're making yourself out to be a victim. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy to live as a victim. You can't operate successfully in any way, shape, or form as a victim. You know, things happen to people. Things happen in people's lives. But you're really only a victim in the moment that something happens to you, technically. What you do after that determines whether you are a victim or a survivor, or you're just still yourself. Self-care is marketed to us in a way that trains us to think that there's always something wrong with us. And it feeds into that destination illusion that a lot of people have, where it's like, well, when I feel this way, then I can do that. And when I get this, then I'll be happy. And it's like, fuck all that shit. You could choose to feel good enough as you are right now and just get the ball rolling, keep it rolling. It's like I always say, there are dumber, uglier, less intelligent, less talented people, people who started out with a hell of a lot less, and they're living better and are happier than a lot of people that maybe had more opportunities than them. That's not an accident. What did they have to believe about themselves to get to where they are? Well, three things. One, they'd have to believe that they were good enough, that they had a chance. Simple. Two, they'd have to believe that when things didn't go according to plan, that they'd just figure it out some way, somehow. They'd ask questions, they'd observe, they'd pay attention, they'd ask for help, they'd look for opportunities. Speaking of, when you tell your brain to find something, it's going to find it. What you focus on, your mind will find, because your mind always has to be right. So pay attention to how you are wiring your brain. What are you trying to get it to look for? For example, for whatever reason, I don't know how this happened, where it started, but for some reason, I developed an odd appreciation for the color yellow recently. And I am hoping that it passes, because I'm starting to not like the color again. I used to hate yellow. For whatever reason, I decided, oh, yellow's pretty. And ever since then, the past like 2 weeks or something, I have noticed so much goddamn yellow around me that it is driving me crazy. Now, was it always there? Probably. Was I always surrounded by as much yellow as I'm surrounded by now? Probably. I don't think yellow just became the color anymore. I think it's just my brain is zeroing in on it, because I'm paying attention to it. Well, you can use this quirk about the human mind for anything. Use it to your advantage. If you set your mind on something you want and are looking for opportunities to get in on it, your mind will make sure that your eyes see it. As I always say, you see what you look for. Look for what you want to see, create, and have. Look for what you can appreciate. What you focus on is what you will see. Your brain has to be right. Three, the next thing that they'd have to believe is that they'd have to believe that in the end, it would all be worth it. It'd be worth all the time and energy, because if they got what they wanted, it would be great. Or maybe they would end up getting even better than what they wanted. Or advanced is, even if they didn't get what they want, it would still help them to figure out something really invaluable that would maybe help them get something else. So think about this. As I always say, and I learned this from Tony Robbins, questions are very powerful. It's what you ask yourself that helps you to direct your mind where you want it to go, and where your mind goes, your feelings follow. So ask yourself, what if I knew that as I am right now, even with my flaws and my quirks and whatever I think isn't working for me, isn't enough for me, that I don't have enough of, what if even with all of that, what if I knew that I was still good enough? How would I behave? Because what are flaws anyway? They're subjective. No one is perfect. I don't know a single perfect person, and I love many people. And I have loved many people in my life. None of them were perfect. Why? It's because you're willing to accept, you know, the maybe not your favorite things, because the good stuff actually heavily outweighs the not as good stuff. So why do you need to be perfect? You don't. You don't have to be perfect to be good enough. Good enough is more than enough. So think of this. Ask yourself, if future me came to present me today and said, in this moment, you might not think so, but you're actually good enough right now, how would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? Maybe you wouldn't be so worried about if other people thought you were enough or not, because you would already know that you were. How does that idea make you feel? How does it make you feel to consider that maybe you are good enough as you are right now? That there's nothing that you necessarily need to fix. It'd be nice to fix those things, but you don't have to fix those things. You could still be whoever you want to be, however you want to be, even as you are right now. Maybe you would feel less tense, less wound up. Maybe you could relax your shoulders. Maybe you could take a deep breath. Maybe you could relax your tongue that's probably often pressed up against the roof of your mouth really firmly. Maybe you could relax your jaw. Isn't it funny how much tension we hold in our bodies? And it's like I say, well, not even like I say, a lot of people have said this, the mind-body connection. Your mind is very much connected to your body. Your body is very much connected with your mind. So maybe if you knew that you were good enough right now, maybe you could get started. Maybe you could allow yourself to consider what could go right. Maybe you could consider that there are so many times in the past where you thought that your world had ended, and it didn't. The dots connected anyway. And it eventually all made sense. It made sense why things worked out the way that they did or didn't work out the way that they did. The dots always connect, ladies and gentlemen. Hindsight is 20/20. That's not bullshit. So don't stress out. It doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered where someone started out from. It's only mattered for the people that believed that it mattered. It's only mattered for the people that allowed it to matter. So don't spend too much time pretending you're taking care of yourself instead of actually caring about where you are taking yourself. So when it comes to self-care, relax. You don't need all of that all the time. Don't spend too much time. Be really realistic. Don't spend too much time pretending you're taking care of yourself instead of actually caring about where you're taking yourself. So that's all for this week's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it and found it helpful. I hope that it gave you something to think about, something that you can actually use and apply to your own life and see results from. If you haven't yet rated and reviewed this podcast, please go ahead and do so. It only takes about a minute, maybe less if you're quick. Be sure to screenshot it and email it to me at hellogorgeous@jessicaharlow.com in exchange for some exclusive content that isn't anywhere online for me at the current present time. That's really all. As always, I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.